At this time, we will be reading the form for the administration of baptism. Page 126 in the back of the Psalter book. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we, with our children, are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless we are born again. This the dipping in or sprinkling with water teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we are admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation outside of ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we, by God, through baptism, admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are, without their knowledge, partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. This also the Apostle Paul testifies with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Therefore God formerly commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark chapter 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant. And parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to years of discretion, that therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and Eternal God, Thou who hast according to Thy severe judgment punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast according to Thy great mercy saved and protected believing Noah and his family, Thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led Thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech Thee that Thou wilt be pleased of thy infinite mercy, graciously to look upon this child and incorporate her by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son, Jesus Christ, that she may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, that she may daily follow him, joyfully bearing her cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that she may, with the comfortable sense of thy favor, leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear, without terror, before the judgment seat of Christ thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Spirit, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. And I'll ask Bob and Marilyn to please arise. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition, that it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yea, that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore, as members of his church, ought to be baptized? Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments, and in the articles of the Christian faith, and which is taught here in this Christian church, to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation? Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see this child, when come to the years of discretion, whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause her to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. As Vanessa's father, Bob, what is your answer? Yes. And as Vanessa's mother, Marilyn, what is your answer? Whenever baptism is administered to a covenant child, it's always a very special moment. We will hear this morning from God's Word in a little while where we as parents, though overwhelmed as we can be many times and especially at this time, must turn. The Lord your God says to you as parents, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. And as you bring up your little children, how you will need to be often on your knees, speaking to God about your children, but also holding them on your knees, speaking to them about God and about sin and about salvation and about Christ Jesus and his life and his death. Telling her and the rest of your children of the need for repentance of sin and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a special moment for this child, even though she doesn't know anything what's happening. And children in the congregation, if you think too, what is happening to little Vanessa this afternoon is what the Lord did to you when you were but a little child. Even before you could think, or before you could begin to pray, before you could ask to be baptized, the Lord came to you and placed his mark on you. And said, this one is mine. And every Lord's Day, the Lord comes back to remind you, along with everyone else in the congregation, I am the Lord, your God. Open wide your mouth, and I shall fill it. Also a special moment for grandparents. Three generations present here this afternoon. And we know that God works along family lines, along covenant lines. And we see something of God's covenant faithfulness, despite our unfaithfulness. Yet the Lord requires repentance and faith in each generation. Now we may plead on Jehovah's covenant faithfulness. Oh, let us plead as grandparents too, for our children, for our grandchildren. Pleading on the basis of Christ's blood that is signified in the water of baptism. It's a special moment this afternoon for believers. All believers, we are reminded of Christ's faithfulness. Today the Lord gives us a visible picture of the gospel of Jesus Christ, showing that just like by means of water, filth is washed away, so by the blood of Jesus Christ, our sins are cleansed. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us not just from past sins or gross sins, not just from present sins, but it cleanses us from all our sins. It's a special moment for the congregation. This little child is not just Bob and Marilyn's. It is ours as a congregation, as a church family. We are responsible for this little child too. We are responsible to help Bob and Marilyn in every way we can to help them bring up their little children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Now, before we go to baptism, we'll sing 425, verse 4. 425, verse 4, and then after baptism, immediately after, without any further announcement, we'll stand and sing verse 5. Jehovah's truth will stand forever. So now, verse 4 of 425. Vanessa, Diane, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Close this part of the service with thanksgiving and at the same time ask the Lord's blessing for the rest of the worship service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thy only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, that they may then acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil in his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee and Thy Son, together with the Holy Spirit, the one only true God. Lord, Thou hast shown Thy power today. Thou hast shown Thy power in preserving the holy sacrament of baptism until this very generation. Just as I was promised in the Lord's Supper that we would do that until the Lord returns, so we know that also this sacrament of baptism shall be performed until Jesus returns. And, O Lord, we thank Thee for Thy covenant faithfulness. Lord, to whom else can we go? To whom else can Marilyn and Bob go in these days? Lord, as they are burdened and as they face so many hurdles, and yet they may see this afternoon that the Lord our God welcomes them to come unto Him, to cast their burden upon Thee. O Lord, we pray for Marilyn in the treatment she is receiving, that they, O Lord, may have their desired result, that it may serve to give healing, that she may be strengthened from on high by the Lord our God, that she may know that underneath are the everlasting arms. Lord God, be with Bob too. Strengthen her as him as her husband. Lord, that he may be there to support his dear wife and their little children. Lord, uphold them, we pray. Let them know that Christ Jesus is near. Let them know that near Thee all is well. We pray too for the grandparents from both sides of the family. Lord, uphold these dear brothers and sisters and grant that they may be there to help, to serve, to support this family. We pray for this church family that they may surround these dear ones with their love, with their care, with their prayers, that at all times they may bear the burdens of this family. Oh Lord, there are others who need this. We think too of the Bleekers' little grandchildren. Oh Lord, provide for them and for their parents too. Strengthen and uphold and bless all the means that are being applied. With Mr. Vonk's daughter, Lord, bless her. Continue to supply her need and bless George as he cares for his daughter. Oh Lord God, grant that he too may know that the reward is from the Lord, that they too together may look unto the Lord their God. Bless Mrs. Alshout and Rod Isaac as they are treated for cancer too. Lord, provide in every way for them and grant that they too may call upon the Lord from their afflictions. And Lord, we pray for all those who are going through difficult times, whether it is physically or emotionally, financially or whatever the burdens may be, that we may find, that we may always come with all our needs unto the Lord our God, that we may always come before Thee pleading Thy covenant promises, that we may come and say, Lord, Thou hast reminded us, I am the Lord Thy God who brought Thee out of Egypt. Thou hast invited us and commanded us to open wide our mouth and hast promised Thou wilt fill it. O Lord, pour out blessings upon us. We know we don't deserve the least of Thy blessings, but wilt Thou look upon us for Jesus' sake. It is in His name alone, O Lord, that we can call upon Thy name. O Lord, be with this congregation in their need for a pastor. Lord, at Thy appointed time, wilt Thou send the man of Thy choosing to fill this pulpit, to bring the holy word of God, to preach the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ, that Thy people may be fed week by week with the bread of life, and that those who are yet strangers to the Lord Jesus may come to know Him, may come to know Him as their Savior and as the Lord of their life. Lord, cause also that this afternoon's sermon may serve that purpose, that Thy Spirit may come and bring the word home to many, many hearts. Might it be to all of us. Lord, it is not too hard for Thee. Thou art a God who can do all things. Nothing is too hard for Thee, as we will also hear in this afternoon. O Lord, bless us. Be with those who are mourning the loss of loved ones. We pray too this afternoon for Mike Martens from the Grand Rapids congregation, who has had a serious accident. O Lord God, remember him and his family in this time of affliction. Lord, as we have heard that it is very serious, wilt Thou, Lord, yet intervene and spare him for his wife and his children and for the family circle, also the relatives among us. Lord, remember them all in Thy covenant mercies. Bless us. Be with the seniors, especially the widows, in these long, lonely winter nights. Lord, wilt Thou pay them a visit from on high and grant that many in the congregation would visit the widows, realizing the truth of Thy holy word. This is true religion, to visit the widows in their affliction. Lord, bless us. Pour out Thy Spirit upon us this afternoon. Bless Thy word. Bless the holy sacrament. And grant that in all things the Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified and exalted, and our souls may be fed, and we as sinners may be humbled before the Lord our God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Continue by singing number 222, verses 6 through 9. First, your gifts will be received, then we sing 222, 6, 7, 8, and 9. Dear congregation, what an awesome privilege and a blessing it is that we may witness the baptism of a covenant child. A child who, like all other children, is fearfully and wonderfully made. A beautiful little child, all healthy, nothing missing. And yet, this child, like my children and everyone else's children, has a huge problem. And that problem is her parents. Her parents are sinners. Just like the parents of every other child who's ever been baptized are sinners. And we confess even this afternoon, our children are conceived and born in sin because of us, parents. Guilty parents bring forth guilty children. But our focus this afternoon is not going to be on parents and children. Our main focus this afternoon is going to be on the God who created our children. Because that God reveals to us from our text our covenantal pleading ground. That text is Psalm 81, verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Our text is our covenant pleading ground. I want to look at just those three phrases of this verse. First of all, I am the Lord thy God, a statement that God makes about himself to his people. Secondly, open wide thy mouth, a command, like an invitation to open our mouth wide, and a promise. And I will fill it. I am the Lord thy God. The first words we heard as we were reading the law this afternoon from Exodus 20. God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God. I am the Lord. The I am who I am, the unchanging one, the faithful, covenant-keeping God. And that God himself comes to us this afternoon and he speaks to you and me as parents and children. And so when he speaks to us, we need to pay attention and listen carefully to what he says. Because if you think of what we deserve to hear, what would that be? What would Jehovah God say to us if he would speak according to what we deserve to hear? He would say, I am the Lord. I have nothing more to say to you, sinners. He would say, I am the Lord, and because you rebelled against me, I have only curses for you. That's what we deserve. He would say, I am the Lord, and because you have broken my covenant, I now break covenant with you. That's what we deserve to hear. What would you personally expect to hear from Jehovah, your Creator? Whose God is he? Would you expect him to say this afternoon, I am Jehovah, the God of the elect. Or I am Jehovah, the God of your forefathers. Or I am Jehovah, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Peter and John and James and Thomas and Philip and Mary. Or I am Jehovah, the God of good people. People who don't sin, who don't steal, who don't take my name in vain, who don't commit adultery, who always think well of me and speak well of me. Is that what you would expect to hear? You know what he says to sinners this afternoon? I am Jehovah, your God. That's who I am. Jehovah, your God. The first time he said these words was to the children of Israel when he's giving the law at Mount Sinai to all those hundreds of thousands of people spread around the mountain there, including little children. He spoke personally, I am Jehovah, your God. He spoke to them and to us as individuals. A little word, thy, in King James is a great little word because it is singular. So he addresses every single one of us in this way. I am the Lord, your God, little boy. I am the Lord, your God, little girl. I am the Lord, your God, mom and dad, and grandma, and grandpa. I am the Lord, your God, parents with baptized children. He says it to each of us personally. I am the Lord, your God, who has brought you out of the land of Egypt. Not only does he tell us who he is, but what he has done. That's because who he is determines what he does. To the children of Israel who heard his law over and over in the tabernacle worship, in the temple worship, this is what they would be thinking. When God says to the children of Israel, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God who brought all those plagues upon the Egyptians. I am the Lord your God who opened the Red Sea in answer to Moses' prayers. I brought you out between the piled up waters of the Red Sea. I am the Lord your God who fed you with manna for 40 years in the desert. I am the Lord your God who gave you water out of a rock. I am the Lord your God who flooded the Jordan River, or who brought you across the flooded Jordan River on dry ground. I am the Lord your God who caused the walls of Jericho to fall, and on it would go. That's the kind of God who says to us this afternoon, I am the Lord your God. God has taken us too, out of the Egypt of paganism. He's taken us out of the Egypt of this world and He's brought us into a Bible teaching church where God's Word is upheld and His name is revered. He brought us out of a sinful society into a Christian atmosphere where we are surrounded by Christian people who love Him, who want to serve Him, and think especially of the believers, God's afflicted and chosen poor people who trust in the name of the Lord. Not only has He brought us out of the world into the visible church, but even further He has brought us into the invisible church. And yet, despite whether we are true believers this afternoon or still unbelievers, God's word comes to each of us individually. I am the Lord your God. I am. Not I want to be, or I once was, or I will be if you do such and such. No, I am the Lord, your God. And that's always true for everyone here. You might want to live as if He is not your God, but that doesn't change the fact that He is. And what a blessing. And we, by faith, lay hold on this. Say, oh yes, Lord, I know You are my God. Because He said so Himself. It's Jehovah speaking. He is my God. I belong to Him. Here not only by way of creation, but also and especially by way of covenant, and by way of covenant sacraments, the sacrament of baptism specifically. I am the Lord, your God, He says to every single one of us. And then He gives us something to do. Something to do, not a work whereby we're going to earn something, but an action of faith. Open your mouth wide, He says. That's what He said in Psalm 81, through His servant Asaph. He said it then, and He hasn't changed. He's still the same. He says it to us this afternoon. I am the Lord your God. Now open your mouth wide to Me. Some of you older ones, you told me in the past that you learned your catechism and your psalms in Dutch first. So you learned to sing, Opent uw mond, correct? Yes, some of you did. Children, you would know it better as, Open, saith the Lord, wide thy mouth, believing. This my covenant word, I will, if thou plead, fill thy every need, all thy wants relieving. That's what Jehovah says as your God to you this afternoon. An inviting command. Open wide your mouth. Come to Me with your mouth wide open in prayer. Because that's what it's a picture of. A picture of prayer. You've seen pictures, or maybe you've even done it yourself. You've gone up to a robin's nest in the springtime. The little baby robins in there, and when they hear the leaves moving, they think Mama Robin is coming, and they open their mouths wide, and all you can see is these wide open mouths in that nest. That's the picture the Lord wants us to have of how we are to be praying to Him. Like those little robins, expecting great things from Mama Robin. So we are called this afternoon to open our mouth wide, expecting something from the Lord our God. We remember little Elise. When she was here, she would walk around with her mouth wide open, going up to people until she got something. That's the picture too. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. And He says it to hungry souls longing for food, longing for a bite of the bread of life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Open your mouth wide, He says, inviting us to come to Him by way of prayer in faith. Think of the gift of prayer the Lord gives us. We always think of it as, well, that's the way we can communicate with God. Right? But it is also, and especially, God's method of hearing from us. It is through prayer. That's why God says here, open wide your mouth and I shall fill it. But He says in Psalm 50, call upon Me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me. In Psalm 91, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Jeremiah says in chapter 29, verse 12, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will listen to you. It's the Scripture's picture. Open your mouth wide, and I shall fill it. Praying expectantly. Not with little thoughts about God, but like those baby robins, mouths wide open. That shows that you need much. You need everything from this God. You need great things. It shows that you expect much. In fact, that you expect everything from this God who says, I am your God. And you expect nothing from yourself. That you put your trust in this God. It shows that you are dependent on Him because of who He says He is. And you know that He will do what He says He will do. And what does He say He will do? When we open our mouths wide, He says, I will fill your mouth. I will fill it. Just like those little birds' mouths filled by Mother Robin, so the Lord fills the mouths of His people. When they open their mouths in prayer, opening them wide, showing their need, showing their expectation, He satisfies the longing soul, says one, Psalm 107 verse 9, and He fills the hungry soul with goodness. And that hungry soul expresses its hunger by prayer to God, pleading the covenant promises in the Lord Jesus Christ, because that hungry soul needs bread, needs the bread of life, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. Open your mouth wide. I will fill it with eternal blessings. Express your needs to Him. Praying now according to His word. Now you can go and you say, oh Lord, you said it in Psalm 81. I am the Lord thy God. Open thy mouth wide. I'm coming, Lord, with my mouth wide open because I need so much. I need everything from this God. Everything not only for my soul's needs, but everything for my daily life. Everything for life here in this earth. I need Him. In Jeremiah 33, the Lord says to Jeremiah, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. The Lord said that to Jeremiah after He taught Jeremiah something. And He had to teach Jeremiah in Jeremiah 32, where the Lord had dealings with His servant Jeremiah on this matter of his prayers and expecting things from God. Because what had happened is King Nebuchadnezzar had come with the Chaldeans and had surrounded the whole city of Jerusalem and had thrown their mounts up against the wall. They were ready to come swarming over the wall and take the city. And all food supplies and water supplies had been cut off. And famine and pestilence had already destroyed many people. And they were distraught and facing a sure death. And what they needed was a great and mighty thing from God. And then Jeremiah cried out in Jeremiah 32 verse 17, O Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and Thy stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. That's what Jeremiah says to the Lord. An example of this wide open mouth kind of prayer that we are called to in Psalm 81. Jeremiah, as it were, says, nothing, absolutely nothing is too difficult for my Lord. Nothing is too hard for thee. And in response to that, the Lord reminds Jeremiah of how he had dealt with the children of Israel in bringing them out of Egypt. You can look it up later in Jeremiah 32, verse 26 and 27. Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? That's the God who speaks to us this afternoon. I am the Lord thy God. Open thy mouth wide, and I shall fill it. Is anything too hard for me? It's a rhetorical question. The answer is, of course not. Nothing is too hard for our God. Is there anything too hard for me in the spiritual realm, says our God? Is it too hard for me to save you? No. Is it too hard for me to save your husband? Or your son? No. Is anything too hard for me? Is it too hard for me to save your wife or your daughter? No. Is it too hard for me to bring back your wandering sons and daughters back into the fold? To draw them to Christ Jesus? No, it's not too hard for me. No. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. I am the Lord, thy God. And do you know why he can say, is anything too hard for me? Because it was not too hard for him to provide his only begotten Son. For us. It was not too hard for him to give up that only begotten Son to death on a filthy cross. For us. Is anything too hard for me? Take a look at the hill of Calvary. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's not too hard for the Lord our God, who says to us, I am the Lord your God. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. In the Old Testament, he said to Jeremiah, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too hard for me? And Paul writes in Ephesians 3, verse 20, calling God Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Is anything too hard for me? Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Does that mean that whatever we ask for, He will give it to us? No, that's not what he said. He said, I will fill it. And he will fill it with what he knows is best for us. He will give us exactly what is good for our souls and what will bring glory and honor to him. And as God's people, that's what we want. That's what we want. Open your mouth wide. And I will fill it. Is that your activity with this God? Day by day, opening your mouth wide to this, Lord. See, now you may do this and you can use it as a pleading ground. And you can tell the Lord, Lord, you said it yourself. And God can't lie. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. He satisfies the hungry soul with goodness, with good things. Whatever He knows is best for us. That's what He will fill us with. We don't always understand that, do we? We can't always grasp how can this particular thing be good for me? It sure doesn't feel good, Lord. It feels like I'm filled with something else. But not with good. And yet the Lord says in Romans 8, all things work together for good to those that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. Everything is meant for the believer's good and for the glory of our God. But before we make a few concluding remarks, let's sing. Number 89. Ye children, come give ear to me and learn Jehovah's fear. He who would long and happy live, let him my counsel hear. All five verses of 89. I am the Lord thy God, who has brought thee out of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. In connection with baptism, and the vows we as parents make, in the obligations of baptism to train up our children, in the doctrine of the Holy Word of God. Oh, how we need to be in touch with God at all times, and in touch with our children. It's full-time work, raising up children. Parents don't get days off. You're always responsible. Especially when you delegate it to somebody else. School, for example, or your catechism teachers and parents, you are still responsible. Oh, how we as parents need every day to have our mouths wide open to this God who says, I am the Lord your God and the God of your children. Open wide your mouth and I will fill it, he says. The devil has so many tricks to rob us of the blessings, of the joy of baptism. Satan tries so hard to take from believers the precious fruit of assurance and the spiritual joy that we gather from baptism. And he attempts to diminish the glory of God's divine goodness shown through baptism. Godly minds are assured not only by the preaching of the Word, but also by the sacraments that we obtain favor with our Heavenly Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Satan is on the offensive. He assails infant baptism from all sides. He wants to take away the testimony of God's grace so that the promises and the pleading grounds that baptism portrays vanish little by little. And when he's successful, and the result is that we are so ungrateful for the Word and for the sacraments, and that we neglect instructing our children in the ways of the Lord. And Satan is oh so good at this. In baptism, we see how immediately from birth, God comes first. God comes and He takes and acknowledges our children as His children. Teaches us, these are not your children. They're mine. I will put my mark upon them. That's why we as parents should be oh so strong in our zeal and our desire to instruct them in the Word of God, to instruct them to fear the Lord, and to love His Son, and to observe His Word. Let's not obscure God's goodness from our children and hide it from our children. But let us offer our children to Him. And let us make sure that they know that He offers Himself to them in the gospel. That He gives them a place already from their very infancy among His family here in this earth. That is, as members of the church. And that He comes to them today as the children of the congregation and says to the children too, I am the Lord, your God. I brought you here. I did that. I put my name upon you. I claimed you for myself. Now you children, open your mouth wide in prayer to God. To this God who says, I am the Lord, your God. And then He promises, I will fill it. Not your mommy or daddy or a pastor or an elder, no. I will fill it. I, Jehovah, the all-sufficient one, the almighty, the ever-faithful, covenant-keeping God will fill it. And I prove it to you by baptism. I give you a visible sign of what the blood of my Son will do for you when you come to me. With your mouth wide open. I will fill it. The very next verse of this psalm says, but my people would not listen to me. My people wouldn't listen to my voice. And Israel wanted nothing to do with me. And I know there are some people here today lamenting that fact. That you didn't listen to God. And you didn't bring up your children according to the Word of God. You didn't teach them to open their mouths wide to this God. You didn't explain to them that He is ever faithful, that He will fill them. You didn't take God seriously. Oh yes, had your children baptized, all right, but gave no thought to a sound biblical upbringing. And what was the result? Verse 12. So I gave them up to their own hearts' lusts, and they walked in their own counsels. The Lord God eventually said to His people, have it your own way then. If you will not walk after my counsel, walk after your own. And yet the Lord God has more to say this afternoon. See how, listen to how God is saddened by all this. Oh, that my people had listened to me. Oh, that they had walked in my ways. That tells us that the Lord is not done with us. He's not finished. He invites guilty parents, guilty grandparents to come to Him even today, pleading this covenant, pleading these covenant promises, coming back to this God and say, oh Lord God, you said it this afternoon, I am the Lord, your God. And I'm coming, Lord, with my mouth wide open, because I have nowhere else to go. It's like Peter said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of everlasting life. And Lord, even though I've done it all wrong. Still, I may come today and I may open my mouth wide still to this God. Because even this afternoon He came with this gospel word. I am the Lord your God, despite what you have done. No matter how you have messed it up. No matter how negligent you have been in the raising of your children, I am still your God and theirs. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Call upon Him today. His word comes to you. It's not too late. For you or for your children or for your grandchildren. Just come back to this Lord and remind Him of what you have heard this day. Come to this Lord through the Lord Jesus Christ, confessing your sins, embracing His grace. Come to Him with your mouth wide open, beseeching Him. He will fill it. John writes in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, from all of it. And that's the lesson we have from baptism. In the waters of baptism is pictured for us the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that cleanses us from all of them, all our sins. Now you bring that back to the Lord. Just open your Bible. Psalm 81, verse 10. And read it back to the Lord and tell Him, Lord, this is God's word. That cannot fail. It's impossible for God to fail. Read it back to Him in the form of a prayer. We'll close with it. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, glorious covenant-keeping God in Christ Jesus, Lord, Thy word is so clear, and we acknowledge we are such slow learners. We are so thick-headed. But Lord, we pray that the Spirit this afternoon would overwhelm us with this gospel of a prayer-hearing and a mouth-filling God, faithful, covenant-keeping Jehovah through Christ Jesus. Lord, grant that Thy people may put this into practice day by day, in fact, hour by hour, in all circumstances of life, no matter what it may be. And Lord, we pray that those who as of yet are strangers to this God, strangers to the Lord Jesus, oh Lord, that they may know Him today, that the Spirit would bring home this Word of God to their hearts. For we know, oh Lord, that when the Spirit begins to work, He will finish His work too. And so we pray, O Holy Spirit, for those among us who are still going on in their unbelief, in their unrighteousness or their self-righteousness, that Holy Spirit, You would speak to them even in these moments and speak to them but one word, live. For we know that When the Spirit does that, they shall live forevermore. Lord, hear us. Not because we deserve any of thy blessings, but hear us for the name and the sake of Jesus Christ, thy Son. Lord, bless Bob and Marilyn. Strengthen and uphold them together with their children and their extended family. Supply, O Lord, in all ways for them too. And grant that this whole family may have their mouths wide open in prayer to our God, pleading thy covenant promise to fill them with good things. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.